You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD. With me, I have Nicole Hale and Chris Triplett. Chris McFeely is on location at the blue side of the moon. So, or Mars? I don't know. Where's the, whatever it is that's in outer space that people can hang out? The moon. It's the moon that has a...
What?
Isn't it, Marvel? Is it Marvel that has, like, the blue side of the moon or something where it's, like, you don't have to breathe?
Yeah, it's and... the Inhumans, you mean?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Inhumans?
I guess so.
Yeah.
See? That's where he's hanging out. He's on assignment.
It's whatever side of the moon where, like, Ryu from Street Fighter and Cyclops can fight on it, because they did. I played the video game.
That's totally the wrong music, but it's the only one I knew, so I went with it.
I thought you were going to actually turn McFeely into one of the Sailor Moon characters for a second
that
there.
That would be awesome. You think he'll cosplay that? No? Okay.
McFeely, do it.
So,
okay, I'm thinking of Sailor Moon now, but with like a 5 o'clock shadow.
welcome to Tumblr. God, I think, what was it last week that Chris McFeely said that he turned into Tumblr when he was talking about he thought two characters hooked up? I about died. I've been thinking about that all week. I'm like, that's the best line ever. Why can't I think of stuff like that? Anyway, so since Chris McFeely is not here, the news falls to me, and the only thing of interest that I really want to talk about is, or that I would even know about, is creator musical chairs over at DC, because we love digging on DC in terms of, like, their editorial and creative teams with crazy stuff going on there. And these like, blew up the Twitters and the interwebs and the things that people talk with each other on. Because, first up...
That's not a phone.
That's not a phone, but is a smartphone, because you do the Twitters and the Tumblrs on the smartphone. So anyway, okay, first thing is, like, way early in the week, like almost right after we did the show last week, it was announced that Andy Diggle was walking off of Action Comics.
But wait a minute. His first issue hasn't come out yet, JD. What's going on?
I know, right? Like, the last issue of Morrison just came out, and he said something about creative differences. As far as I know, we don't have a real solid thought or reason as to why Diggle left. So it seems a little strange. I don't know. It seems like the next arc is kind of mostly done, or at least it's done enough, because guess what? Tony Daniels taking over. That's okay. Right, kids. He's going to be doing art and writing for the rest of the arc. Now, I assume that means that they'll get a new creator starting with whatever the next arc is going to be. I don't know how long the arc is going to be, whether it's going to be like a 3 or 6 story arc.
This is really sad, because, like, I was telling you, I was reading Wonder Woman, and I guess with all the DC books, they've got a preview in the back of them for the new Action Comics by Andy Diggle, and it's like they're making a big deal out of it.
Oh, yeah. They're trying. They were trying, man.
I'm looking at my Justice League. They have 7 pages of a preview and ads for it.
Yeah.
So. And it looks kind of neat, too, because, like, they got the whole thing where, you know, Superman's like, I don't like bullies, you know? I'm here to protect, not to provoke. I didn't throw the first punch, but I'll throw the last. I was like, dude, this sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen, I guess.
Well, now. I mean, that story is, I mean, essentially is going to happen. It's just, you know, not with Diggle. It's kind of weird. I mean, he just said for creative differences, so he didn't really elaborate. He's got a lot of the other stuff going on, too, I think. So that's a little strange. And we're like, oh, wow, well, that's crazy. Then, like, not a day or two later, Joshua Hale, I am going to butcher this last name, Fialkov, I think, he was the oncoming writer for Red Lanterns and for... Green Lantern Corps, Basically does the same thing.
Wow.
He walks off both of those books. And, so...
Wait, are you sure that DC's just not on a diet and they're just taking walks? They're not just...
Right, like
out?
It's an exercise program for their creators?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
spend too much time exactly. sitting and writing, so we're gonna make you walk, fatties. No. This is actually leaving their books. So, now, the interesting thing with this is he basically said the same thing. He cited creative differences... that he was going to leave and blah, 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 whatever. So, of course, the speculation began, well, why? Why is he leaving the book? And a day or so later, I mean, the rumors started to hit that apparently, allegedly, they were wanting to kill off Jon Stewart.
I think I heard about this. I heard something, but yep. I didn't know if maybe it happened already in
no.
Core, because I haven't been getting Core.
No. So, yeah, they... so, again, allegedly, they were pressuring him to kill off Jon Stewart for some reason, editorial-wise. He said, F you know, and walked off the book. Now... the oncoming writer is, I can't pronounce his name, it's Vialetti, the guy that was writing Exo Man of War for, was it Dynamite, or one of
Dynamite.
The
Dynamite!
You're talking about the new Exo, not like...
Yeah, the new Exo yeah, Man of War. Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know who publishes it now.
Venditti, Robert Venditti, he's the oncoming for, they're putting him on... Green Lantern Corps, and then Charles Soule for Red Lantern. So they actually split that up. But so Robert is going to be doing the work on Corps. Now, he's saying that he's not killing off Jon Stewart and that DC now doesn't have plans. Well, DC doesn't have plans to kill off Jon Stewart. And so it's sort of this deal where it's like, well, of course you don't now.
Yeah.
You know? Of course you're not going to now, because that would have been an awful idea. I don't know. It's
What is going on with DC Comics? I mean, you know, it's not sounding good for DC Comics when your creators are like walking yeah. before their first issue comes out. I mean, Marvel, I hate to say it, but Marvel's doing it right. You know, Marvel now seems to be working, but what is going on with DC? I mean...
I don't know. It's interesting. It's like they really don't... Somewhere along the line, they just don't have a... They don't have a unified vision, you know? That's an organizational... That's a leadership issue, you know? When any organization, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a play or comic books or a company or whatever, when you don't have leadership with a clear vision that's able to disseminate that vision... you know, down the line and make sure like there's alignment all the way through. This is the kind of stuff that happens because you've got editors, you know, on the low end that are just doing this crazy stuff. And then it's, you know, you're not getting back around, you know, it's not getting back up. There's not clear lines of communication. It doesn't seem like, I mean, just like the fact that they were going to, I mean, think about the fact that a few months ago we were talking about that they were, you know, firing Gail Simone off of Batgirl,
yeah.
You know, like that's even any kind of smart thing to do, you know.
I mean, that's a clear way to kill that book and cancel that book is get rid of the one person that makes you want to buy the book.
Well, and kill the relationship because there's such a relationship yeah. between Gail and her fans. You know, it was just not done in a proper way. And that's the kind of thing that happens when you don't have clear vision and clear, you know, dissemination of ideas. I don't know if it's Andy Diggle or it's farther up the line, but man, they have got to get this fixed. I mean, you can't put out quality work if your creators don't feel comfortable creating, you know?
Yeah, and they really need a good creative team on the Superman books, because like we were talking,
yeah.
The Superman creative team, you know, after Grant Morrison is really sad. I mean, there's a movie coming up, for God's sake. I mean, you need your top talent on Superman books. You need to take advantage of this situation and, you know, sell some comics, for God's sakes. I don't know what the sales are for Superman, but they can't be good because the book's not good.
Yeah, they have really put all of their chips on, you know, in terms of Batman the last several years.
Yeah.
And, you know, that Batman.
Remember, what do we count? It was like the New 52 and the majority was the Bat family.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, like 25 to 30% or more were somehow related to the Bat family.
I think it was around 30%, wasn't it? It was like 17.
Yeah, it was like 17 titles out of the 52. Yep. So or related in some way, but I mean I don't know. It's speculation. The whole John Stewart thing could be not true. I mean, it's possible. It's possible that that's not true.
Oh, they got a lot of Green Lanterns, the main character Green Lanterns, like the core.
There's four Earth-based Green Lanterns, though, right now, so I don't...
Kind of makes sense, because clearly...
Yeah, well, there's three.
Because you got John, Kyle, you got four. Guy, and you got Hal, right? Yep. And then got the other guy, you got, what's his name, that's in
so
the regular book.
That's what I'm saying, you've got four total. You've got Boz, you've got Hal... You've got John, and you've got Guy. So and Kyle. So, yeah, I guess you've got five. Holy hell, you've got too many. So
it kind of makes sense, I mean, because, like,
but
John...
But why aren't we killing off... But kill off Guy, you know? That's going to have a big effect. And
if they killed off Guy... well, I'm not getting the book. Well, let's say that I was buying Green Lantern Corps, and they killed off Guy, I'd drop the book. I'm just saying.
Well,
if
you had a choice between killing Guy or killing John, I mean, would you just drop it if either of them? Or, I mean.
If they killed off John, no, I probably wouldn't. Because one of the reasons I was getting Green Lantern Corps was because Guy Gardner was in it.
Well, that's
because.
That's because you're racist.
And I have a personal connection with this new guy, with Simon, because I think he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we need more gun toting Green Lanterns.
I mean, I would still be.
I love the gun toting Green Lanterns.
I would still be getting Green Lantern Corps if I, you know, had the money, but man, like, I had to drop some stuff, and I was like, I'll get my Green Lantern fix out of the main book. And I just did so happen to do that, like, right before the Rise of the Third Army, which none of that made sense, because I wasn't getting Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There may be other news, but I didn't follow any of it. That was the big thing I saw, and I don't want to go into a lot of news, because... Chris McFeely is really better than that than I am. So
he's very good. And
he is because he like understands lots of stuff that I don't. Because I do other things. So, so there's the big things that I thought out of this week. You know, was important. Wow, DC, get your stuff together.
Get your act together, DC. Just, I used to love just, you. You used to
I know.
Be my. Comic
we were
company.
Like this a couple years ago.
Oh my God, yeah.
Blackest like, Night? I was like, yeah.
Sinestro Corps War was
Man. Now
I mean,
it's like...
They made Hal Jordan good again. I mean, Hal Jordan has never been good in the entire time I've been collecting comics. There's a reason why I like Kyle Rayner so good, because Hal Jordan was boring.
Yeah.
But they made him good again. I mean, come on, DC.
Yeah.
Used to be friends. I want to be friends again.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? All right.
It's karaoke time on Bad Boy
Versus. Oh, man. Chris McFeely is just missing out, let me tell you. So, all right, let's get on to recommendations then. I'll go ahead and give you all a heads up. We are going to talk about More Than Meets the Eye at the end of the show. I didn't want to, not because I don't want to talk about the comic, but because I don't want to be all spoilery and stuff, but we're going to do it anyway because I got outvoted and Chris McFeely wasn't here to, like, you know, put his foot down.
It's such
McFeely
a good
would have sided with Triplett and I.
No,
I think it's
not.
Such a good and pivotal book. And like, you know, Nicole was saying, we haven't talked about More Than Meets the Eye in a while. We kind of don't have to.
I
we
promise
know it's
you, Chris McFeely would not be siding with you all. He would be with me. But. Regardless, that's fine. We're going to talk about
we'll
the end of the
know.
Show.
He so will
we'll
never
let
know.
We'll know. He'll tell us when we talk to him next time. But anyway, so we'll talk about it at the end of the show. So that'll be all spoilery, so be prepared for that.
If anyway. You haven't read it already, you should have read it.
Yeah, so, you should have read it. So what?
You should have read it.
What the heck?
Yeah, because someone had the comic book over in the UK for nearly 20 minutes and spoiled the crap out of me.
Really?
Oh, really? Huh.
People gotta not do that. You know, I went Twitter dark until I read it. It's like when after Monday night, like we were in the middle of doing superhero time, and I was like, Twitter dark, done. Because I did not want that to happen.
Well, the thing is, I was checking my Facebook page and my Twitter at 1 o'clock my time. That means someone had the comic for like only an hour in the UK, and they spoiled it for me.
Yep. Yeah, people, come on. Get it together here. Little courtesy.
No, nobody likes spoilers.
That's right.
Except for you know the fact that we're probably going to spoil this book.
But we are. But it's been,
we're getting a fair warning.
In our defense, as thin as it is, it has been a few days. So anyway, Chris Triplett, what do you got, sir? What's your recommendation then?
There was a lot of good books that came out this week, but I'm gonna recommend Superior Spider-Man. Cause,
yeah, you are.
Yeah. Of course I am. Yeah, I like Spider-Man.
Whoa! Let me get my shock book on. No. Wait. You know, I make fun of you every time you review this, but it really is.
I can't help it. I mean, it's such a good book. I'd understand if, like, you know, Dan Slott wasn't writing Spider-Man and we had like somebody else and we had like the dark days of Spider-Man, like, you know, the 90s. Like, I would understand. It's like, why is he talking about Spider-Man? But you know what? It's a good book. And like JD was pointing out, this is a pretty big turning point for Spidey in this issue also. Just to give a little bit of backstory, when they did Brand New Day, and they started like this whole new kind of introduction of Spidey, almost like a new universe, they introduced a whole lot of new characters that are like new villains for Spidey. One of them is actually in this issue. She's coming back in Screwball, and she's basically she's not really a villain. She's more like this menace that just gets in his way every once in a while.
She's like one of those itches that you can't really scratch, you know?
Yeah, she's like a sort of like this minor celebrity that's famous for just doing like, you know, stupid stunts and then like videotaping it. So that, you know, she can get hits like on YouTube or like whatever, you know, like a viral video person. And in this issue, she returns, and the whole crux of the issue is basically she's playing pranks on people and then videoing it and getting like big hits. And then her other motive is that when people go to her site to see the video, she's actually, you know, stealing their information, like, you know, stealing identities and doing identity theft and stuff. The person she picks on in this issue is Mayor Jonah Jameson, and in hysteric fashion, they basically throw a pie into Jameson's face and they pants him so that he gets caught on video. And like, of course, you know, this is going to be a video that everybody's going to see because Jameson is such an ass.
Yeah,
you know, if anybody was to deserve this, it's Jameson. Oh my God! It's like they get like the biggest hits ever just because of this, and you know he doesn't like, you know, being made fun of. So of course, what's he gonna do? He's gonna call in his pal.
Now wait a minute! You can't say of course. What is he gonna do? Because only in this new world would Jameson even think of calling Spider-Man.
I said, of course, what he's gonna do is because he's basically friends with Spider-Man.
It's like, what has happened?
It's so messed up. Yeah, it's like we're in the world because they're like almost the best friends. I mean, yeah.
Spider-Man comes in and he's like, get this man a cup of coffee. Sit him down. All right, friend.
Otto still hates him, but Otto understands what, you know, public image is. He knows he wants the mayor on his side. Of course he's going to, you know, take these people down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we start to get like little pieces of information where, like, this may be the first time, maybe in Avenging Spider-Man, because I haven't been reading it, where we see the Avengers are starting to notice something's off with Spider-Man.
Yeah, which was still a brilliant scene because they're all like, "What the f, man? He killed somebody! Like, this is not cool." Yeah. Wolverine's like the voice of reason, who's like,
yeah.
We kill people all the time. I killed somebody this morning. Like, really?
Like, Does anyone on our team not have blood on their hands? That's true. I mean,
Spider-Woman
can't say that he doesn't have blood on his hands, as you know, high mighty as he is.
Spider-Woman decapitates people with her coffee, I mean, in the morning, you know? It's like, I don't, you know, like, really? We're going to get our hackles up because Spider-Man killed some kind of mass murderer, you know? Like, Thor, you've killed armies.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't even know how many. Black Widow? Oh, my God. So we're going to say Spider-Man can't kill one dude?
It's like, just work out.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I thought it was pretty funny seeing Wolverine.
The voice of reason.
When Wolverine is your voice of reason.
When Wolverine's the voice of reason, you know you're living in a bizarre
Something's
world.
Something's wrong.
But, they decide they're going to watch him. And, you know,
boy, they get an eyeful.
Oh, yeah. It's great how the issue just kind of ends with, you know, he thinks he's going to take these two pranksters down. And, you know, they wind up deciding that he's going to be their next prank. That,
you know,
Spidey's going to be it.
The interesting thing about this issue, and I don't want, you know, and I'm kind of holding what completely goes down, but is that I saw where it was going pretty early on.
Yeah.
And it was almost difficult to read. And I kind of tweeted about it too, because it's just like you're watching
the end of it.
I knew where it was getting to about halfway through. But it was difficult, in a sense, to watch because, and this is the brilliance, again, of Dan Slott, where not, you know, and I was trying to just explain this to someone at my shop. They're like, oh, well, I'm not reading Superior Order. It's like, you're missing out.
He's really missing out, yeah.
Because not only does Dan Slott really love and appreciate Spider-Man, but he also has a great appreciation for Doc Ock. And you see that human side of Doc Ock here and how just a little bit of twist you know, can completely change a person, a character, whatever. And so you know where this is going, but you have to keep reading it, and you keep moving towards that moment at the end when you're just like, oh, I get it, but I don't want it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, what's great about the issue is it's another great example of how Peter and Otto took the two different paths. You know, mm-hmm. Peter, he had the living family that taught him, you know, with great power is, you know, great. You must have great responsibility. You know, you shouldn't use that power to hurt people. And Otto, he didn't have that lesson.
Nope.
You know, he didn't. He had the quick little
memory
stuff that popped up in his head. He had the little talk with, you know, Peter, you know, in 700. But he did not have the years growing up. He didn't have the Uncle Ben. He didn't have the Aunt May.
Yeah.
And it plays out that way. You know, he just like same things happened to him that happened to Peter. He got picked on in high school when he was a kid.
Yep.
But now he's got the power, and when someone didn't learn.
Well, I guess you guys should also mention the other character that's been bullied in this comic. What's her name?
Oh, yeah. This new character they're going to introduce, like, in the last issue.
Is her name Maria? Is it Maria?
Yeah. Maria? Maria? Yeah.
Anna Maria, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's another one of Slott's great characters where it's like she's a fully fleshed out, complete, interesting person that also happens to be a little person. And that's it. Like, it's like, you know, this is probably made more of a deal than Modell, you know, being gay. But it kind of feels like it's in the same vein, too. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, and you can even tell that, like, Otto's actually very attracted to this woman as well.
Yeah, he's really grown quite fond of her. Like,
well,
in, like,
I think it's
because
he relates to her in a lot of ways.
Sure. Yeah.
And because, you know, she's very intelligent. You know, she's, like, tutoring and helping him. And, like, he respects intelligence. I mean, she surprised him. And, you know, he doesn't get surprised very often.
Yep.
So, it was a great issue. And I guess we won't spoil exactly what happens at the end, but when he does come after these guys, these jokers that are doing these things, the joke comes on to Spider-Man, on to Otto, and, you know, he's not as forgiving.
Yeah.
And this leads into where we're going next and what the Avengers are going to have to now do with Spider-Man.
Yep.
And it's interesting territory. I'm excited to see where this going. I know, talking to McFeely, that it kind of sounds like maybe Superior Spider-Man's not going to be around much longer. That maybe the end is coming sooner than we think.
I hope that, because I really love this Spider-Man.
Yeah, I would like to at least get 12 issues out of this. You know,
oh,
I would
for get, sure.
Yeah, before we switch back to Peter, because it's been really interesting. I don't want it to, like, overstay its welcome, you know, but I do want to get maybe just a little bit more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it continues to be a great book. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to get this book.
Was it rumors that it was only going to be 8 issues? Is that right?
So he said something about, like, number 8 or 9 has the cover. It says Superior Spider-Man No More, which, you know, was kind of leading us to think that maybe this will be ending sooner than we think.
Because oh, we were all
thinking, like, what, like maybe 2 years or something? Like, they'll probably wait. Like, I was thinking, personally, they'll wait till Amazing Spider-Man 2 comes back, you know, the movie, and then we'll, for Amazing Spider-Man 2, we'll get Peter back, of course, because, you know, you kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got, man.
You know?
I'm so glad I started reading Spider-Man when I did, because this is so good.
It's used to be a great book. Highly recommended. Yeah. Totally check it out.
Cool.
Excellent.
Well then, Nicole?
All right. Well, I'm going to be talking about a new number one that came out this week. It's called Memorial. It's by IDW. It's written by Chris Robertson, art by Rich Ellis, and colors by Grace Allison. So that is the team on this. Now, this is a pretty... For one issue, there is a lot of information that comes in here, and I'm going to try to explain it to you. So, it basically what happens is, what happens to the reality world and the world of imagination? What happens when they come and, like, collide together? So, you have a talking cat, you have a named Schrodinger, which I think is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Jiminy Cricket. He's the consciousness of the group. You have M, who doesn't realize who she is. She can't remember, but she has this magic key that opens portals. That's like an entryway between the two worlds. You also have this family that has... It started off with the grandmother of this family when she was little. She used to make drawings with this pencil marker, and she used to draw things on her mirror, and that's how she was able to go into this imaginary world where she met Knock Knocks, or Nox, which was this dragon that you see on the cover. So now these worlds are colliding together, and the grandchild of this woman has been kidnapped by, they're called the Friends, but they're not really friendly. And she's out in the middle of kind of like a limbo, and they're requesting her to do something, but she doesn't know what they want her to do, because they're mistaking this grandchild for the grandmother who used to go into this world and create things. It's a very, very creative book. Like I said, it's a lot of details, great characters. I'm like, come on, the cat, Schrodinger, he's so cute. And Noxa is this magical dragon that comes to life. And so, oh, like I said, there's more. I can't really talk about it because it's hard to explain. You just got to go and read it. So it's very imaginative. There we go. Got it. And you get to know this family, and you feel sorry for them, and you're rooting for them, because they are kind of split up and torn apart within the story, and you just want to wait, you want to root for them to come together and find everything, but you also want them to go into this world and explore all the new adventures. And so there's some really great art in here, and I could see like many different stories branching out to it. So come on, you've got a Schrodinger's cat.
Totally need to name my next cat Schrodinger.
Yes, exactly. But it's really creative. If you've ever wanted to know what would happen to our world if everything that you thought of came to life, you know, your world of imagination, what if it was real in another world? Almost kind of like a never-ending story kind of feel. So, yeah, it's really creative. It's really fun. Highly recommend it. I'm definitely going to get the next one. It's really cool.
Who publishes this one? Is this
it's
Image?
IDW.
IDW, okay.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, most kids had imaginary friends or had wild imaginations. What if it came true? So there you go. I loved it. It was awesome.
Neat.
Cool.
Very quick and sweet. There you go.
Sweet. All right. Well, then we are taking a break, and we will be right back.
Wow, that was quite a workout. I could use a snack.
You are getting to be an expert at karate. Now it is time to become an expert at choosing snacks. Fresh fruit is an energy snack that tastes good. It has a lot of important nutrients and vitamins that your body needs to stay in good shape.
This is really good.
And it is good for you.
Superhero time. Power Rangers, Masked Rider, Super Sentai, and lots of burning justice. Check out Superhero Time at tfradio.net. Superhero time. Here we go.
And we are back. So I will be starting off the second half. I'm going to run through a few things. One thing is basically a mention for Chris McFeely and a preview for him for next week because... we're going to force him to talk about Action Comics.
Yeah, so. I would love to talk about Action Comics, but I feel like I can't do it justice.
I know. It's like I feel like a child sort of trying to understand how the universe works.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, those are my toes as I read this because it's just like it's
it's like I'm trying to read War for Peace, War and Peace, and yeah. And like I need like the big time literature professor to explain it to me or something. So that's why we go to McFeely to tell us what happened to this comic. I know what happened, but you tell me what really happened.
I mean, I kind of get it. I mean, as best as I can understand, you know, this is the final battle with Vindictivix, but it's not. It's really interesting because it's almost from Vindictivix's point of view because, as Superman points out in this, really we're seeing several different battles that Superman has with him.
Yeah, it's the multiple timelines, you know. He's been attacked at different timelines, yeah.
But for Vindictivix, and this ends up being the big twist, the big turn, is that it's really only one event for him. Yeah. And it's how that plays out that's so amazing. Because if I'm understanding what is happening correctly, then it makes the fifth dimension seem really awesome and wacky and crazy. And I love the little bit at the end. I mean, we get red-blue Superman in this, for God's sake.
Yeah, I saw that.
Red-blue Superman.
This is like, JD's going to love this.
That is insane. I love it. Oh, Morrison, you crazy, insane bastard.
You've just left, and we miss you already.
Man. And then there's a great little kind of post-story here that's very, very little dialogue. And really, it's not even any dialogue.
The Shellfish story, yeah, that was good.
It's basically all lines from Superman stuff, and some of it may be from the future or some of it may be past stuff, but...
Some of it's from, like, the movies.
Some of it's from, like, the movies, but it seems, you know, it's all, like, you know, Last Son of Krypton, Man of Tomorrow, Long Live the Legion.
Yeah, like, when you get the comment where it says, you've got me, who's got you, I was like, yes!
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that and the other one, you know, of course, Neil, like, oh,
Neil. Yeah.
You know... So, anyway, it's basically this story that kind of takes place in a little bit of the Superman Museum in the future, but it's great. I mean, it's a great end to this run. It's very interesting. It has definitely set up. What's interesting is that even though this is sort of like an introduction of the fifth dimension, it's really kind of set up that, you know, a future creator, writer, whatever, if they want to take off with you know, the Mr. Mitzelplick stuff, they totally can because that's, you know, basically set up here. So,
yeah.
Interesting. But anyway, we'll have Chris McFeely decipher that for us hopefully next week. if not in just the pre-show, if not what he talks about in full.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll want to talk about it.
Two things I want to mention real quick, too, is that, dear God, if you're not reading any of the either just a vanilla Avengers or new Avengers. Dear God, you should get on. Because, man, new Avengers I'll talk about first. This is the collapsing world story.
I read this one.
Yeah, and this is really interesting because they're trying to come up with different solutions. Basically, they're individually almost coming up with different solutions to this sort of problem of, you know, destroy another world or what do we do? And I love Tony's solution because he's like, I would just make a Dyson sphere. You know? And it's like, because that's the thing that you can do if, like, you're a super genius and you have tons of money and resources. You know, build a Dyson sphere. If you're not familiar with the Dyson sphere, it's a concept of actually encapsulating, you know, part of a solar system or a star inside a sphere, and then you can sort of harness the energy from it indefinitely. Yeah. Gives you a lot of power.
Why did I think of that? Jeez.
So, yeah. But anyway, Doc Strange is dealing in dark magic. There's all kinds of scary different things that they're coming up with.
It's beginning to look like, you know, a bunch of these guys aren't going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, because there's going to either be sacrifice or there's going to be people left behind. Because, like, a lot of their plans hinge on them going to the other world, to the mm-hmm. other universe, you know, and being there to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and then, you know, of course, the end, then Galactus.
Galactus, but is it Galactus?
Well, it's Galactus. It's yeah.
Okay.
Is this other universe is Galactus?
Was that misspelling first to say, you know,
well,
this really isn't our Galactus.
They,
it's another Galactus.
The Illuminati hop over to the other Earth that's, you know, appeared in the sky, basically. And so this is basically this universe's version of Galactus. And it's Galactus's herald that they're talking with as well. So it's not this universe's Galactus, but it is a Galactus.
And that looks like Terex is his herald.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if he's still Terex. Maybe he's Terex with a K. Maybe Carix. He's
Carix.
Carix. What? Carix. So,
but I love this conversation because he's like, look, Galactus is helping you out. So you can either choose to, you know, let him do his thing or you can try to fight. Or you can, you know, fight me if you want. It's kind of futile. And so they fight him.
Fight.
Okay. There you go. So that's great. And then, Avengers as well. We're digging more into this Star Brand that we talked about last week, which was just great. And if nothing else, I love it for just the crossover stuff because there's one part in here where like Tony puts a universal tracker on Nightmask, or the kid, I can't remember, one or the other. And so they're trying to find, like, where they're at, and he's like, well, as long as they're in the universe, I can find them. And Banner is sort of like, really? Like, that seems a little odd for your kind of tech. He's like, oh, yeah, I got it from Reed. And Banner's like, he started to ask the question, like, why would Reed give that? And why do you even need that? And he just kind of goes on, you know, because it's like, we'll just gloss over that you might need that if you're an Illuminati and you're, you know, working on trying to save the universe at the same time. So, but wouldn't you know it, we wrap back around to some more stuff at the end of this issue. So, man, Avengers is really great. It's definitely coming around. You know.
I'm glad it's as good as we were hoping because, like, and we really didn't know. I mean, like, him and was, you know, hitting it out of the ballpark with Fantastic Four, and you know, you never know. It could have been like lightning in a bottle or something. But I'm glad that it's still as awesome. I mean, it's still like you're getting pieces, and it's like things aren't all together yet, and it's going to be one of those deals where you're probably going to have to like have the whole run for things to make sense. But you can see things coming, like, you know, a year from now, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. So there you go. So there's my recommends. Get that stuff. So.
Avengers
is good. I like it. Nobody's sitting around eating breakfast.
Yeah.
And talking, making funny
Yet.
Jokes. Yeah.
Have no time for that.
Yeah, really.
We got to save the world.
Big stuff going on, kids. So. All right. Well, then let's do it. Let's move towards the end of the show. Again, this is going to be spoilery. We're going to be talking about More Than Meets the Eye. So if you haven't read it, stop the tape. Tape. Stop.
Stop the cassette.
Okay. Stop your cassette.
Yeah.
Just don't fast forward or anything. Anyway.
Don't rewind it either.
Right. Use the little pen.
See what I see there? Yeah. See what I see? Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway. Let's see. When last we left our hero, Chrome Dome was in a world of shit because he's locked in a room that was only going to take him about 5 seconds to get out of, except there's time dilation involved, and so it's going to be more like 30 minutes, with Overlord on the other side of the wall. And it's really great because they just recap that a little bit and don't waste any time. I mean, you turn the page, and it's a two-page spread of pandemonium, dogs and cats living together as Overlord is just smashing everybody. You know, he's taking on, like, the entire crew of the Lost Light, and it's bad. It's basically bad. So we jump back a little bit to when Overlord first popped out.
When Overlord's involved, nothing really does come out good, does it?
No. Not really. So we pop back, and there's a little piece here where Whirl and Blaster are using the anti-asteroid missiles, and Whirl's, of course, getting his itchy trigger finger scratched as he's getting to blow stuff up. And he's like, I haven't blown anything up, and it's like, it's been days.
you don't want world. You don't want world to have an itchy trigger finger.
Oh no. But I love this a little bit though, because Pipes walks out. He's like, "Hey, Blaster,
you love this bit?
I do. It's hilarious. I mean, it's just kind of funny to me.
It's
Pipes' bit before the thing. You know.
Yeah.
So Pipes just comes up to Blaster. And he's like, "Hey, so were you able to get the comm links back online or anything?" And he's like, "Again." No. He's like, okay, well, I'd like to send another message if I could, so he's like, sets this message for Hubcap. He's probably sent like five different, 500 different times, who knows. And so he drives, he transforms and rolls off. And right under the foot of Overlord and gets smooshed like a bug.
Yeah.
That
scene is so sad.
It is,
like, he gets smashed,
and
then the next page is basically he's kind of going in and out of trying, like, he's freaking out and he's thinking about the message that he's sending.
Yeah. So he kind of goes back and forth. His spark is shrinking, which is a sign that he's dying, basically.
He's like, wonderful time, made lots of, speak soon, can't speak, concentrate. Falling out. So he's like, you're kind of reliving that last moment in his head.
He's trying to save himself, and you're just like,
but he does manage to hit the alarm, so that's good, at least. And then we get another, basically, a moment or jump back. And I love this thing where it's like, Rewind's going to Brainstorm, because, of course, unknown to Rewind, Brainstorm and Drift and Chrome Dome all know about Overlord being at the bottom of the ship, and I guess Chrome Dome's been saying Brainstorm's name in his sleep, and I love Brainstorm's response, and he's like, because he tells us, he's like, Rewind's like, well, because he's been saying your name in his sleep, and he's like, whoa, more embarrassed, you or me, Clue, it's you.
he does the trigger figures, I love it, the trigger figures.
I love it. And he's like, he makes the comment too. He's like, so we're involved in some kind of big, conspiracy thing just because of that. And he's like, well, I didn't think so until now, actually. Meanwhile, Swerve sets off what is he called?
It's
again?
An abstraction. Metafictional
bomb.
A metafictional bomb.
Fourth wall.
Which blows up the fourth wall.
JD apparently has blamed me for this.
Because I think with Nicole's little Deadpool and Swerve avatar here, I think she gave him the idea to have him start breaking the fourth wall, which is exactly what starts happening.
Because I have Deadpool and Pinkie Pie, and they were known to break the fourth wall, and so I have Swerve in my little avatar.
Yeah.
It's just fitting. See, I gave him the idea.
And then the last panel is the alarms going off again. And then we have, like, another motif. So there's basically, like, several different motifs. There's, like, Hot Rod and Perceptor talking about stuff. There's Rung and Fort Max. And then there's a nice little hilarious bit where Tailgate has signed him and Cyclonus up to do movie night.
Cyclonus is happy.
Yeah, and Cyclonus is not really excited about that.
I love these little bots, like Rewind, Swerve, Tailgate. They're all so much fun.
I like the lead ups. I liked how it's like this is what everybody was doing 30 minutes before everything went to shit.
Basically.
You know? And they were basically just living their lives, just things were just going on, you know.
Well, and that's a lot of what's happened, I think, in the series for the most part. There's been a lot of just these connective moments between big events, and so
Look at the moment, just the three panels of Rung and Fort Max together.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh.
So anyway, so now we're basically into the med bay here, and Overlord starts his onslaught. It's Drift and Red Alert at first before basically everybody.
That's
shows
Ratchet,
up.
Isn't it?
I'm sorry, Ratchet. Duh.
Yeah, Red Alert's like.
I don't know what I was saying. Anyway,
Red Alert.
It was it's Ratchet and Drift and. Drift makes comment about his sword protecting him, and well, it becomes is that my faith will protect me. And he's like, well, my faith and my sword. And Ratchet is like, no, your faith and your sword and your friend, buddy. I'm not gonna go anywhere. So
the thing is, those two have been clashing heads for a while. So it's good to hear that.
I mean, I think there's a good camaraderie between them in that respect. I think they respect each other.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like there's animosity. I don't think
they just have like huge disputes over
religion. So so the first thing that happens is Ultra Magnus gets into like an all out brawl. I mean, he just starts punching the crap out of Overlord. You know, gets a few good hooks and then finally like Overlord grabs his hand and he starts laughing. He's like, "What are you laughing at?" And he's like, "Well." And he says something else to him here, and he's like, but really, it's more that you've been holding back, or you've been giving everything, and I've been holding back. And he punches him through the gut.
Yeah.
He punches him? No, he punches through
That's
him.
That's what I said, he punches him through the gut. Yeah, hand all the way through the chest. I mean, basically where we leave Ultra Magnus, we don't see him again after this, First Aid is working on him, but his spark is shrinking, and he says about the best they could hope to do is slow the process, but that's pretty much irreversible at this point. So that's where we leave Ultra Magnus.
It took me a while just to look at this page.
Yeah,
it's just that one splash page. You're just like, no, not like this.
Any other interpretation of Ultra Magnus, wouldn't have cared as much for him to die. But like this version of him, we've grown so attached to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him being just the stiff upper lip guy, and it's like all the jokes about, you know, it would probably save the universe if you would smile. But then again, it's Ultra Magnus, so he's not going to smile. You know, stuff like that.
And then we had that issue two issues ago where you actually seen him kind of let down his guard a little bit. And,
yeah.
You know. Get a little loosened up, and you're just like, oh.
I like this little bit between Cyclonus and Rewind right here, too, where Cyclonus is like, you know, look, we're all piling on. We need to be pulling back and be strategic. And Rewind's like, it's not going to matter. He can't be killed. Cyclonus is like, look, everything can die, believe me.
Yeah.
I know. And you're like, yeah, he would know.
You know, reading this, I was thinking that Cyclonus is going to be like the guy that's maybe going to like take him down, but like he's going to go down with him or something.
We were talking
a while back, like, you know, like which characters aren't going to make it. And we kind of like had our picks and stuff. And when I was when you're reading this, like you're thinking, oh God, you know, don't let this guy die. Don't let this guy die.
Yeah.
Oh God, this guy's giving a speech.
Yeah.
He's going down.
Uh-oh. That's going to be it. Yeah.
That's it.
With each panel, you're like, okay, is this the last we're going to see of him? Is this it?
You never know. It's like it's always like those movies too. It's always the guy though that's why it's like you knew it had to be Pipes right off the bat, because as soon as somebody starts talking about home and family and kids, it's all over, man.
Yeah, that's it. Like,
when that guy's like, "Oh, my baby was born last month. I can't see him yet. I get home, and I get off tour in 3 weeks, and I'm gonna go see my baby." I'm like, "Oh, you're gonna die, dude."
All Pipes had to say was 2 days till retirement.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's like he might as well put a big red bullseye. It's like, that's it, man. Game over.
No, so, I honestly thought Cyclonus was going to be the one.
Yeah, I thought that might happen too, but I still think there's a lot of story left there. But
yeah, there is. I'm pretty sure there is.
So I love the bits with Rodimus too. He cracks me up. He's like, "Oh, you like needle fingers?" Like, yeah, I was going to do that, but you know,
I passed. Give me drills.
Yeah. But anyway, so they stick Fort Max on him because they do.
Of course,
if someone. Fort Max deserves his revenge.
Oh, man, he totally does. They also introduce in here one of the first... we're going to be introduced to a series of outs, as I'm going to call them. The first is going to be Drift Sword, which got mentioned earlier as being something that can protect you. It's like a faith weapon thing that Drift uses. The second is that when Chrome Dome was entering Overlord's mind, he entered in basically a mnemonic device... where when Overlord hears something, it basically has like an adverse effect on him. Kind of acts a little like a stun. Which the phrase, of course, is "till all are one," because as they've established, Rodimus says that all the time. So
love that so much.
So it's guaranteed that if things went to shit, Rodimus at some point would say "till all are one." And that would, you know, buy him some time. Now, he does say that the effect will diminish over time. So that may still be an out, but we'll get to why we need the out here in a minute. If you've already read this, you know why, but, so they leave a lot of punching and they decide to retreat. Now, Chromedome's idea here is basically to lure Overlord back into the cell and then jettison the cell with Overlord inside and then they'll be safe. And the problem is that the door won't close. The door won't close because Drift's sword is stuck in the door. And the door's already started to close. So the only person that can fit through is Rewind. Now, mind you, as we established earlier in this issue, Rewind became painfully privy to this whole Overlord thing and exactly what Chromedome's role in it was. And he even made the comment that he didn't think he could forgive him. Like, this was just... you know, a big deal, you know, a big breach of trust for Rewind. And so the sword is stuck and Rewind goes through, pulls the sword out. Well, Chromedome, not thinking really, has his arm through the gap in the door and the door shuts and cuts his arm off.
Oh, God.
Yeah, in the door.
But you know, the thing is, that's not the most painful moment for him. It's coming.
No, what's coming is they're on either side of the doorway, and they're trying to say things to each other. And, I mean, you get both sides of the conversation, because you hear one or the other. But you don't really... I mean, well, I guess you miss a little bit of Chromedome's.
I think you missed a little bit of Chromedome's. Yeah, because, like, he stops, he says, "Rewind, then he can't hear him, you know?
So, and the last image you see of Rewind is him turning, and there's Overlord. And then the pod gets jettisoned from the bottom of the ship. Chromedome goes running, and he runs up to the anti-asteroid control. And, of course, Blaster's up there, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, you know, "Rewind stuck in there with Overlord. I'm doing the only thing I can do," and he destroys the pod.
Oh,
that was so heartbreaking.
Now, on the Meet the Crew panel, on the last page, we have three characters X'd out. It's Pipes, it's Ultra Magnus, and it's Rewind.
Yeah.
Now, my take, I think Ultra Magnus is dead. I think he'll you know, finally pass at the end of next issue. I think we'll see that at the first part of the next issue, and then we'll deal with the... And we already know from the preview page that they're going to be dealing with, like, the memorial and burying or whatever of the dead. So we know that's going to be dealt with in the next issue. I really don't think Rewind is dead.
I could see them saving him. I could see something happening with that. But like you were saying, you think he's going to be there Next issue, I don't think he's going to be there. Next
I don't
issue.
Know. I mean, yeah, my thought
I
is next
Rewind's
issue.
I think Rewind's safe.
I think he is, too. I think there's enough outs. Yeah. I think between the sword, between the possibility that the time dilation effect and the pod could be reversed. I mean, there's all kinds of weird little tricks that it could be switched. Now, those could all be red herrings.
It could be that we think that he's safe, and it could be that, oh, God, wouldn't they be bastards if they did this? He's not safe, but there's a way for him to come back only to die again.
No, and that could totally happen.
That could still totally happen still because totally of the whole happen. Time. And they could just be bastards. You know, it's like we had Spock die in Star Trek II. Guess what? Spock gets to die again. You know?
Yeah. They bring Spock back and they kill him again. Yeah, totally. Yeah. That could happen. So I don't know. I mean, it's a great issue. It's not a – I mean, it's odd. It's like – I don't know what I was expecting. It wasn't the blow-me-away kind of wow. I mean, this is always the transitional deal. Like, I expect the next issue to be really difficult. I expect the next issue to be really hard. Because
oh,
it's always
like – this one wasn't? Oh,
it wasn't
my gosh.
It wasn't as emotionally impactful. It was dramatic. But I always
– I thought that last page did me in.
That was hard, but I think I'll have more trouble in the next issue when it's like we're really dealing with everybody and picking up the pieces. Yeah. That's going to be the hard one. It's just like death. This kind of felt, in a way, it's almost like you talked about Damian dying. It's like when it initially happens, you're more shocked than you are, you know, it's like that initial shock. And the next issue will be getting over the shock and trying to deal with it. So I think the next issue will be a lot harder than this one, but I don't know. I think Rewind could come back as early as the very, very end of the next issue. No explanation, you know, just him waving it from an outside porthole would be the most.
I think the smartest thing to do is, like, you don't want to cheapen the end of this issue. So for him to come back in the next issue would do that. I think it's a couple of issues down the road. It's like maybe like 6 or 7 issues or something. He comes back, and either he comes back or it's – I think like I was saying, something else happens, and oh shit, you know, it has to happen again.
I don't know. I still think Ultra Magnus dying is pretty impactful.
Yeah, I think Ultra Magnus is basically going to be the one that's going to be dead. I agree with you on that. Yeah, and of course, Pipes is totally dead this time. Poor Pipes has had the worst life of any Transformer. All the shit he's had to put up with, and yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, I mean,
it's over for Pipes.
Yeah, there's not much.
Pipes isn't coming back, that's for sure. Poor
he's
Pipes.
Not coming back.
No, he's gone.
It's
sad because Pipes was one of my very first Transformers I ever bought.
Really?
It was like Beachcomber was my first, and I think Pipes was either like my second or third.
Wow.
I think Pipes will wind up being this cautionary tale. It's like, you know, your life is bad, but at least you're not Pipes.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could be Pipes.
Could be worse. You could have like got sick and got hurt, got shot by Fortress Maximus, or stomped on by Overlord, and died. And you know, you could be Pipes, but you're not. Yeah. So just, you know, try to be positive.
Try to. Yeah.
No, the reason why I think Rewind is still safe is because he still has that one story he needs to tell. You know that story. He's like, I can't share this one. He's got to tell that story before he dies.
That's why I was shocked that they let him die. But yeah, when he's got this out, yeah, I think he's going to be back. But I don't know if he's going to be back. Like, we think he's going to be back.
Well, because like with Rewind, you know, we haven't dealt with whatever the other thing is that Chrome Dome did that he's trying to keep from Rewind that came up in one of the spotlights, I think. There's another thing that Chrome Dome did that he's trying to keep from Rewind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that hasn't paid off yet. So there's a lot of...
I think that's what he was trying to tell him there at the end.
Maybe, but, you know...
He might have been just trying to confess and say, like, you know, this is what's been going on. But I love just the imagery of, like, this last two pages where the door closes and it cuts his arm off, and then Rewind dies. I just love that. You know, it's his best friend in all the world. You know, he just him losing his arm. You know, just the way that you feel pain and the way that it's just projecting it to you. It's like that's just really well done. I don't even know how to put that into words.
Mm-hmm.
This was an excellent issue. Excellent. issue. And the thing is, they had a whole bunch of people working on this.
Well, and
I mean, the inks and the colors, a lot of people helped with it. And
I think another thing too is that, you know, we're not done with Overlord yet either.
And no.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a whole other deal. Is that I don't think we're done with Overlord yet. So
yeah,
that is going to be something else to deal
with. Well, like they said, they're practically indestructible.
Yeah, the what do they call them?
Sixers? What crap? What are they called?
It is something in the Sixers. Chat. In.
So we don't have our McFeely brain with us.
Yeah.
If I had the last issue, I could tell you, but yeah, I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, they, you know, the whatever they are, they.
Phase Sixers.
Phase Sixers. Yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. They're tough to kill. So yeah. So anyway. So there you go. Have fun reading that, kids. I don't read the boards or anything, but I can imagine that whatever crackpot theory we've come up with for Rewind, that there are more insane theories going around for everybody. You know, I even heard that some people were like, I mean, it's like, I'm not saying we're not mournful for Pipes, but I'm like, it's Pipes. I mean, let's, you know, come
on. Yeah, but I mean, like, Pipes is almost like a non-character in the comic, but like I was telling you, that page when he's dying.
Sure.
Those six panels, I was like, oh, God, this is so sad, and you kind of feel sorry for him.
I mean, of course you do, but I'm saying it's like, I'm not going to lose sleep over Pipes dying, you know what I mean? Like, that's not going to happen. You know,
it's kind of cool the way they do it, because they kind of like they set him up like, oh, you know, maybe we're gonna get Pipe's story, you know, maybe he's gonna start being a character and he's gonna be more than this punching bag.
Nope.
For the page.
Nope. punching
bag. Yeah.
But, so anyway, so there you go, enjoy that.
If you guys aren't reading this, why
you should be. Finally, it's great stuff. Even if
like,
you're not,
like we said, we can finally say this is a good comic, not just a good Transformers comic.
Yeah, it's just a good comic.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in my top four, and God, I buy a lot of comics
easily.
So that says something.
Yep. So cool. All right. Well, yeah, that's it. That's the show. Go to the website, fanboyversus.com. You can check us out live every Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. GMT. You can also follow us on Twitter at FanboyVS. Yeah, so check all that out. So that's it. That's the show. For myself, for Chris Triplett, for Nicole Hale, and Christopher Feely, who's not here this week, thanks for tuning in, and please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus.
This has been Fanboy versus. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.